Thank you for downloading this podcast from CFC Jesus Ministries of Christian Fellowship Church in Chicago, Illinois. Support for this podcast comes from your generous gifts and donations. To find out more about CFC Jesus Ministries or our church, please visit www.cfcjesus.org.
You know, I'm going to get into several things tonight, but one of the things I wanted to address a little bit is something Pastor Ken said yesterday. In talking about, we ask you the question, would you rather have a blessing or would you rather be in need of a miracle? And of course, the answer is you'd rather be blessed and be in health than have to seek out healing, etc. But I want to carry that just a little bit further and say, we are a blessed people, but sometimes we still are in need of a miracle in some area of our life. It could be our finances, a healing of a relationship. It could be physical healing. So God has provided us that we could be blessed. And also, if we get to that place where we can't do it, the doctors can't do it, the lawyer can't do it, the banker can't do it, Jesus can do it, a miracle. So, you know, he has provided both for us. He's got us covered in every way, and that's a wonderful thing to know, that God is for me and not against me. We truly are a blessed people of God. And so I want to go over a very quick review. We need to make a conscious decision to believe that God has our best interest at heart at all times, that you can trust someone who died for you, that they would not want to bring harm to you, right? If someone ran in a burning building and they gave their life for you, I don't think that they meant harm for you in any way. And that's Jesus who died for us. Another thing is, we talked about speaking to the mountain, more than speaking about the mountain, and talking about, I said you can't move the mountain, but you can move your mouth, you know. And, you know, there are so many things there. You know, God never said to go and try to fix the mountain. He never said to sit there and look at it, gaze at it. He never said to take it down with a crane or blow it up. Actually, my thought on that is, our words are dynamite. God brought that to my spirit the other day as I was studying. Our words are dynamite. They are powerful for good and evil. Words can destroy a relationship. It is also words that are powerful enough to bring back and resurrect a relationship by his word. You know, he said to the man at the pool, he said, rise up. That's resurrection power. So, and also, the devil is no match for God. And I've noticed this year that the devil began this year being very aggressive. I was just telling Frieda that. He began this year with a very aggressive and purposeful assault against the people of God. But the good news is, we also began diligently to be in God's house, to be in God's word, to be in prayer. So he is no match for our diligence in doing what we are supposed to do. We are a covenant people. And going over again that we have to get past this idea completely that God is in any way, ever, at any time, responsible for any wrong that comes our way. There's no purpose in it. He does not put sickness on anyone for any reason. Do we have to say that a million times? Yes, because we need to hear it a million times. Faith comes by hearing. And our sickness, your sickness, my sickness, does not have a purpose, but I'll tell you what has a purpose. The healing of our sickness, that has a purpose. When Jesus heals us, the sickness never had a purpose. It does nothing. But God can redeem our pain and our suffering, and that has a purpose, the healing. How foolish it would be to think that God would ever put sickness on people and then tell you to call for the elders of the church and have them pray over you. How, you know, what kind of God would do such a thing? And God is not a two-faced God. It would also mean that God is actually doing the work of the enemy. He's the one who's the oppressor. He's the one who is the destroyer. And that is just not good theology at all. That's not even common sense that God would do that, that I would, you know, throw you in the fire and then be the one who comes and brings you out and bandages you and takes. That does not make any sense. God's character and his nature are to heal and to help and to bind up the wounds. And so we're talking tonight about healing again, and I want to begin with the thought that God never changes. Now, I want to tell you that there are times in the Bible when we see that people prayed, God said he was going to do something, this is my plan, this is my intent, because he's always in it, again, for the good of everything, but this is what I have to do. I have to destroy these evil people because this is good. This is what has to be done. And so God will change circumstances. He will even change our circumstances, but he never changes his character, his nature, or his will. That remains consistent. At all times, he's the healer. At all times, he's the redeemer. At all times, he's the deliverer. At all times, he's the provider and the protector. He never changes his will or his character or his nature. You can count on who God is. Now, I'll give you an example in the Bible that God changed his mind on something. Not his will, his mind, his intention. And this was when God intended to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah, and Abraham prayed. He was actually praying for his family. I want to, which it wound up, well, we know how it wound up. But I'm going to read to you Genesis 18, 24 and 25. What if there are, this is Abraham, 50 righteous people in the city? Will you sweep it away and not spare the place for the sake of 50 righteous people in it? Far be it from you. That, here's what he was saying. That's not like you, God. He recognizes the character and nature and will of God. Wait a minute. That's not like you to do such a thing, to kill the righteous with the wicked, treating the righteous and the wicked alike, judging them the same. Will not the judge of all the earth do what's right? Now that sounds like, who are you? Who do you think you're talking to, Abraham? Will not the judge of all the earth? I mean, you are literally challenging God. But he's doing it in righteousness. He's doing it because he knows God and he knows the character and the nature and the will of God is not to destroy the righteous. So he understands. Abraham gets it. And he's asking God, basically, are you not going to do the right thing? Okay, God, are you not going to do the right thing? And we know that God is. We know that God is all the time. It also tells me there are different degrees of relationship we have with God. You know, God wants an intimate relationship with you and I. He wants a friendship. Just like we have different relationships with people. Some people are acquaintances. Some people you know, you're not that close to. And other people, you have an intimate relationship. You can say anything. You can challenge them. You can test them. You can say anything because you've earned that right. And they've earned that right. And that's what God wants. He wants us to have that relationship. The Bible says, you have called me friend. And it was God who called Abraham a friend. So when Abraham's talking to God like that, maybe someone God would not take too kindly, let's say, to being talked to like that. But wait a minute, Abraham's my friend. You talk differently to your friends, don't you? You know, hey, stop that. You can't be like that, you know, that you wouldn't to just anybody. And it proves it out in John 15, 15, said, henceforth, from this time forward, I call you not servants and slaves. You're not just going to be obedient to me and do what I say, not what the master do. For the servant knows not what the master does, but I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known to you. That God so much would not hide things from Abraham. You know, he could have not just done things and not told Abraham, but he felt compelled. Wait a minute, if we're friends, I'm going to tell you. You know, if I'm going to Hawaii, I'm going to tell you, you know, hey, you want to go, Frida? Frida was talking about going somewhere tonight. It's like, hey, if you're friends, and that's the relationship that they have. You know, that is the relationship that they had. Exodus talks about, I want to read this to you, Exodus 23, 25, and 26. And you shall serve the Lord your God, and he shall bless your bread and your water. And I will take away sickness, not I might or I could. I will take away sickness away from the midst of you. There shall nothing cast their young, nor be barren in your, that's miscarriage, shall not be barren in your land. The number of your days I will fulfill. We are to live a long and satisfied life. Now, here's the situation. These are promises of God. This is a promise of God to those who were in covenant with God. God is not entitled to, these promises are not for the wicked. Do you understand that? That they are to God's people that serve him. God will not bless disobedience. He will not bless unrighteousness. These promises are to the people of God. That means to us. That is you and I. And it's not a contract that I do this and you do that and you pay me and I'll do this for some kind of service that could be null and void. God is a covenant God. And something that hit me today that was just so cool to me, the realization that Jesus would have went to the cross if no one ever received the sacrifice. I had never visited or studied that out until this day, today, February 5th of 2024. Here's why. He wanted to make it and would have still made salvation available because he's a righteous God and he's a holy God. He still would have went to the cross. He knew that Judas was going to go the way Judas went. He knows that there are people who will never receive him. What if that was everyone? We all decided throughout that we're not. He would have died to make it available to you and I because he's a righteous God and had to make a way. I love that thought that he keeps his covenant no matter if we keep it or not. He's going to be faithful when we're not faithful. Just like a parent still loves their child when the child is standing there saying, I hate you, I can't stand you, I wish you were dead. You know how kids do when they're teenagers. You know, you've ground my dad, you know, for the 159th time grounding me, you know, telling me you're not going anywhere. And he's like, you know, and I love you. And I'm just standing there like a stone, like, I ain't saying that. We ain't going there. And that's God. That's God. I still love you. You're a total brat. You've rejected me time and time again. You've betrayed me. You've walked away from me many, many times. And I'm still your father. I still love you. And my promises are still available to you. Will you all receive them? Not necessarily. But I love that God not only heals us, that he forgives our sin, and he heals us. In Matthew 9, some friends, they brought a sick man to Jesus, remember? And Jesus, seeing their faith, said to the sick man, son, be of good cheer, your sins are forgiven. The religious leaders and the Pharisees, they suddenly became so fiercely. And here's what they said, how dare he? He told them, this was so you would know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins. And then he told the man, then, after he said, your sins are forgiven. Do you understand? Do we get that part? Now, God can heal us out of mercy, but he does things in order. And he said, this was so you would know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins. And then he told the man to rise up, take your bed and go home. The man did it. They were so shocked and they praised God. The people praised God. And what I took away from that is that he wanted them all to know. I want you to know. Don't just look at the miracle. Don't just take the healing and run. Let's get the sins forgiven here because that's really the root of the problem. That's really where this all began somehow. And we don't just need healing. We need our sins forgiven. We need to be in covenant with him. And he's letting everyone know that day. I'm not just a God who you can just click your fingers and you can come and receive the miracle. I will also forgive your sins too. And we need to understand that too. Psalm 103, 3-5 says, who forgiveth all that? It's in three, thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases. And I think that we should continue to have faith that God will do that. And what he does for one, he will do for all. And you know, here's the thing about faith and here's the thing about healing that we really, really need to get to understand. Faith can be difficult to have faith. But faith is not, something that faith is not is what people fall into this trap of doing who really don't have a revelation of God. They think it's mental assent. I just think it really hard. I believe. I really believe. Wait a minute. We're not in Oz. We are not in Oz, and we are not clicking our heels, and we are not just, I believe, and you don't believe at all. The Bible says, believe and don't doubt in your heart. But it can be hard to have faith if you don't know somebody. That's my point tonight. Yeah, I can trust people that I know. If they say they're going to pick me up at 8 o'clock, they're going to pick me up at 8 o'clock. Why? Because they have integrity. They keep their word. They're known as a person of their word. My dad, you could count on him. If he said he was going to do something, he would do it at all cost. I mean, it would be horrible in his eyes for him not to keep his word because he had integrity. My husband's been asking me, the message that Pastor Ken and I did on integrity, it really hit with him. It really resonated with Dave. He said, now, what was that word again? Integrity. And it means more than just being, you know, so we went through it again, through not just being honest. It's keeping your word, which is being honest, of course, but it's doing good things when people hurt you. It's going out of your way, having integrity in all things to bless people. And it means so much, but our God is a God of integrity. And I can have faith in him because I see that he is consistent. I see that God has always kept his word in my personal life. I can see it in your lives where you prayed and God, yes, he did. He did respond. Yes, he did. He's kept you. He's healed you. He's restored some of your relationships. I can see that. I can see that he's restored broken homes. So to me, the message is loud and clear from God. I am a God who keeps my word. Therefore, I have put all my faith in God for every situation of life. If someone walks up to me on the street or says something on the internet, you know, if you click on this and you're going to get $5,000, I seriously doubt that. She's a friend of mine who does my hair. We were talking about this. I sent her a link yesterday because we always talk about diet and what we're going to do and when we're going to start and all, you know, as we're, you know, sipping tea and cookies, you know, we're talking about the diet. And so I found these earrings, lymphatic earrings. Have any of you ever heard of lymphatic earrings? Oh man, I could sell you a pair because you just peel the weight off. I mean, literally, you put these earrings on, they do something. They showed pictures of your lymph node system and all and said you start draining and the toxins leave and you just peel the weight off. So I sent it to Nikki and I'm like, here's the next plan. I said, forget we used to have some little boxes that we had to put our food in. We ordered these little boxes for portions. And when we got they looked bigger online than they were. Sandra was there when they came. Your portion was like this. This is how much you get of meat. This is how much you get of vegetables. It was awful. But you know, God is not a scam. So if someone on the internet says they're going to do something for you or something's, this is real. Click now. Don't. There's only 19 pairs left. Are you kidding? They got a warehouse of 90,000 pairs that they cannot move because that's a lie. And thank God some of us are smarter than that or I'd be wearing this. But these are not the special lymphatic earrings at all. But if someone tells you that, don't believe them. I won't because they have no integrity. Their word is not good. There's all kinds of people on there telling you, didn't work, didn't work, didn't work. I want my money back. But if Pastor Ken calls me and tells me that I'm going to give you $5,000, I'm going to start making my shopping list. I'm going to start getting it going. If Dave tells me, you know, it's your lucky day, you didn't win the lotto, I'm giving you cash. I'm going to make my shopping list because they have integrity. And the same way is with God. So I'm telling you, make your shopping list. Make your list and tell God what your needs are because the Bible says sometimes we don't have because we don't ask. And sometimes we don't ask because we don't have faith, because we think this is too big or this is too little. God would not be bothered with such a thing. That's wrong. Or it's too big. God probably isn't going to do this. Why we think that way, I don't know, because he's a big God. And that really is making God small, making him insignificant for us to say, I'm just not going to even bother to ask. That's the first thing we should do, especially in the area regarding healing, regarding our relationships, things that we have need of. God wants to do that. And another thing is we tend to lean on people. Can I say that in a healing class? We tend to lean on people. When something goes wrong in life, we tend to, you know, if the finances are bad, we tend to try to look for who can help us financially. Who can we go to at least to talk about it, complain about it? We tend to lean on human, on man. And that doesn't work because man is not your provider. It doesn't work because man is not your healer. It doesn't work because man can't save your kid. Jesus can save your child. And so we need to understand that God is a God of integrity, and we need to be bold enough to ask. He said we can come boldly before the throne of grace. We can step right into the throne room. I love when Pastor Ken says we can walk right into the throne room. I mean, the veil is torn in two. You could not do that back in the day. Sweetheart, you don't dare come in there with sin. Well, that counts me out, probably Fried and probably Alan, probably, you know, all of us. We can't go, Tony, we can't go. You know, we're in trouble. We're in big trouble. None of us, Emmy. You know, Emmy's a good person. I mean, Emmy's a godly person. I look up to Emmy and Debbie, but you can't go because you would get struck dead because the holiness of God. But he now, through the cross, the veil was torn in two, and we are invited to come on in, come behind the curtain, come meet with the holy God who loves you. And like I said yesterday, we sometimes think he's so holy, he don't want to talk to me. He ain't going to like what I have to say. God ain't going to like what I have to say when I tell him, I'm angry, God. I have asked you for this 10 times. I am hurt at you. He's like, okay, I still love you. I'm working behind the scenes. You know, I've been pushing hell back all these years on your behalf. Now just calm down. But we forget that he's our Father. We forget that he has our good in mind. At the core of his being is to bless you. At the core of his being is to provide for you and I, because he has integrity. And he doesn't do it. You know, I think another thing that we need to understand, and I'm trying to set a foundation for next week, I think another thing that we have to understand is the motive is always at the heart of why we do things. It's also at the heart of why God does things. God's motive is not, I'm going to show Frida how powerful I am. I'm going to prove it to her. That is not what God is sitting in heaven. I'm going to do that, and boy, she'll bow her knee then when she sees how powerful I am. God is like, you know why I'm going to do that for Frida? Because she's hurting right now. And because I know what it's like to hurt, because I hung on a cross. And he's going to do it because he loves her. No other ulterior motive whatsoever to show off, although God has every right to show off. Every right to show off. I always say he's a show off and a show up God in the best of ways. Not like we want to show ourselves. He is worthy of all of our praise. But he heals us because he loves us. And you know, I was thinking that today we're going to ask our praise team, our worship team to come. I love the worship. I love that Make Me More Like Thee song. I just, man, do we need that, you know. But I keep thinking, I was thinking about the cross today, and something that I was thinking about it is, I was picturing Jesus. I wanted to just kind of like a mini vision. This is what I was picturing. I was picturing Jesus with his arms stretched out, and here's what I was picturing, him reaching into every one of our lives, into our situation, and the word just came to me, my arms on the cross were reached out to reach into your life, into your situation, to touch you and heal you, to hold you when you're hurting. My arms can reach you. The cross, he reached us through the cross, through the blood. I am so thankful. And if anybody has a need tonight, let's go ahead and stand. I do want to take the time to pray for all of us that God would help us, heal us, and meet every need of our life. Father, we ask you tonight for all the needs of our life, Father God. We know that you are a God of integrity. We know that you tell the truth. You are not a man that you should lie. Father God, we know that you are faithful. We have seen it. We could never, with a pure heart, say we have not seen the faithfulness of God. We have We have been what Pastor Ken said yesterday. We are those blessed people, no matter what we're going through. So, Lord, we just ask, Father God, I ask on behalf of each and every person here that your arms would reach into their life to touch and heal, to deliver, Father God, to hold them, Father God, when they're hurting, Father God, to restore, to redeem, to rescue, Father. Your arm is long enough to rescue, Father God, those who are lost, to grab them by your right hand, Father God, to touch them with one touch and we're healed, Father. Thank you, Jesus. We receive it tonight in Jesus' name.
Check. I've got a, I was going to say this yesterday, and I'm just going to try to keep this at 3 minutes, but I was going to speak yesterday, and then I thought the enemy just put in my mind that I shouldn't, but I need to say this. In November, and I'll tell you, there's only three people that know this. In November, I went for blood work, and I got a call the next day because they have the results immediately, and they told me, doctor wants to see you. You got to get in here today. And I said, well, how about next week? I'm really busy today. No, sternly. Get in here now. And I went in, and the doctor told me that my PSA levels had shot up enormously. And he was immediately worried about prostate cancer. And, I mean, totally made an appointment for me immediately to see a urologist. And even then, it took me 2 weeks to see him. Appointments were so booked up. And I went in, and I've got to tell you something. The peace of God was upon me. And even though I had gotten some bad news, I knew that it doesn't matter whether God takes care of it that day, a week later, a month later, after treatment, after this or that or something else. God will take care of it. And I went in to see the urologist, and he did extensive tests and retook the blood work and everything. And about a week and a half after he did all that, he called me and said, I need to have a teleconference with you. Why can't they just tell you what's going on instead of all this? Yeah, and so I said, sure, send me the link, send me the link. And he sent me the link, and he said, how are you, Mr. Pacina? How you been? How's it? And I'm like, come on. I had no fear, but I wanted to hear it from him. And he said, Mr. Pacina, you're fine. Everything's good. All results came out normal. And again, I'm going to tell you, yes, the glory to God. The glory to God. I'm going to tell you, and it didn't matter if he took care of it at that office, during the teleconference, a week later, a month later, a year later, the glory goes to God. There's a lot of people that would tell you it was just a bad test that you had taken. Somebody messed up the results. Somebody did this. Somebody did that. No. The glory goes to God. And every one of the needs that I have, my family has, that my church family has, is going up in prayer. Is going up in prayer because I am an example. I am a witness. I am healed by the blood. I am healed by the stripes upon his back. I'm saved by the blood. Amen? Glory to God. Those needs, give the glory to Jesus. Amen? Give the glory to Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you for downloading this podcast from CFC Jesus Ministries of Christian Fellowship Church in Chicago, Illinois. Support for this podcast comes from your generous gifts and donations. To find out more about CFC Jesus Ministries or our church, please visit www.cfcjesus.org.